There's too many Home Alones, there's too many Tremors, but I like to watch them for rotten treasure. Hello, welcome to Rotten Treasure. We watched X-Men The Last Stand. I'm your host, Jim O'Donnell. With me as always is the other host, Kai Bobby.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Like, physically exhausted, but as you can tell, super, super manic. So everybody, strap the fuck in.
Yeah, strap in for our guest. That was one of my better...
That's a good segue.
I'm going to be honest. That was pretty good. Our guest today, you might have heard about him from us talking about him last week on this podcast with Tom Anakin. We'll tell you in a second. He's an improviser and he lives in L.A. It's Andrew Coppola.
Hi.
It sounds like he was talking shit, right? Immediately. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. You've made a horrible mistake by inviting me.
Okay, great. I mean, if you want to dish it back, you can. You're more than welcome to spend as long as you want.
Especially what he said about you. It would be incredible if you just started shitting on him.
Yeah, that guy, what a no talent hack.
Yeah, thank you. That's the quote for the episode.
Well, anyway, so what he said about you was that you're one of the better second beat people he's ever seen do improv.
That's nice.
That is so sweet of him to say, and also insane. In the sense that he could not be more wrong. But he's pretty good despite having no taste.
Okay. No, that's nice. I think that's fair. I've been realizing the taste, like the type of improv I like isn't my style at all. So I've been like realizing that that's kind of like conflicting with what I'm trying to think of, like what's good. And I'd really appreciate it if my new coach would stop telling me that I'm doing good things and gassing me up for the things that I'm like, that's my move. That's what I do. Anyways.
It's so interesting how like the what your thing is changes over the like years of doing improv, because like I think when Tom saw me, I probably was good at second beats, but that is not I'm an idiot on stage now. I'm all feelings, no thoughts. I could not tell you what the game of a scene is to save my life, and this is like, you know, almost 10 years into doing it. I think I've maybe not everyone regresses as much as I have. Maybe this is a unique thing.
I not to make you compliment yourself, do you think you might have transcended that though, to the point where like you're like, oh, I don't have to think about game, it's just naturally in me, because you've been doing it 10 years?
Sure. Yes and no. I'm okay with doing really lousy improv, I think, has changed. That. Like, if it sucks, that is not my prop.
I think sure, I've been mostly just thinking about that, like, how that problem lands with the people I'm doing it with. Like, that's been my test. I've been like, oh, shit, I did bad improv, but it also meant this low stakes to me. Like, how you feeling about it is, like, a different thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've definitely been doing really poor improv, and it's mostly because without a coach and without someone being like, hey, what you're doing right now is bullshit, I don't stop. I love patterns. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but I'm a little neurotic. So, yeah.
I can't relate to either of you. I'm doing some of the best improv I've ever done right now.
Fuck you. I mean, you know, you've been... Daddy Issues have been active. You guys have been working. So, like, I'm not surprised at all. And I'm also super down with doing bad improv. I've been doing such bad improv that every now and then I'm like, that's funny. That's surprisingly the one. Like, it's funny bad. Like, I've been enjoying at least making funny bad.
What would you say your like grass is greener thing about improv right now, or just creativity right now, that you feel you wish you could be better at?
I wish, so I'm on this team, and we're enormous. It's a 9-person team. And everyone's very, very talented. They're a lot of fun to do scenes with, but we move so fast. We are just like an explosion of ideas all at once. Like, usually in a good way, sometimes to our detriment. And I feel like I've wanted really for us to like slow it down and to like, you know, ease into scenes and like let stuff play out. But then like when I get an opportunity to do it that way, mm-hmm. like it is flat. It is boring. Like, where's the energy? Where's the, where no one is exploding into the scene. Like it's dull. So that's kind of like, you know, yeah, the grass is greener.
Yeah. I did lose my train of thought. Jim, is it okay if I ask Andrew the ultimate question?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
It sounds like it's so hard, but it's really simple, I promise. What is your relationship with the entire X-Men franchise as a whole?
Largely indifference.
Okay. I like that. That's a good...
You came on for exactly the right movie, apparently.
I have some like familiarity with the cartoon growing up. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Mr. Tom Hannigan could probably talk about it to a great extent, but I watched it. I have no recollection of it for the most part. Then I saw the first two movies when they came out and was like, you know what? I think that's all the X-Men that I need. And mm-hmm. I've never, until today, I'd never seen any more of the X-Men movies. And, you know, it was nice to have some closure in the last stand, as it were.
No, there's more.
Yeah.
There's no closure here.
To be fair, they closed off that trilogy.
Yeah.
I actually kind of the same where I've always just kind of been someone that was like, whatever, X-Men. I had a single X-Men comic book that I was obsessed with when I was a kid, but it didn't like flower into anything. So the movies would come out and I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. I thought Gambit was awesome. I think that's a guy, right?
Yeah. He's the one who throws
cards. Card throw. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
my favorite purely from the Jenna Marbles bit about how it's just a shit musician, a magician who showed up and he's not actually a mutant.
I never know which one I would want. I definitely don't want the one where I can like jump through like space because I think I'd be too creeped out that I'm like, what's going on with my body? I don't
Nightcrawler.
I'm like already creeped about of the fact that I'm made of molecules and all that fun stuff and it's fine. But like, I don't want to, I don't know. I don't want to move through space like that. I don't want the responsibility of going through walls or being invisible because I'm already clumsy as it is. And I think I'm just me being invisible will psych me out too. I don't know. I think it's important that when I move, I'm like, okay, this way, just to be safe.
I use my arms.
Oh my God.
Did you like this?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Where did this land for you?
It was interesting. That can't be the right word.
I don't know if I found interest in this film at all.
I thought, oh, wow, this is a really, like, rich setting for like kind of this could have been so like boring I was watching and I was the whole time disappointed that it wasn't like Star Trek Next Generation.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Like, sure. I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed by most of the things. Yeah.
Not just because of Patrick Stewart, but because I think I feel like there are ethical questions, political questions, philosophical questions. What does it mean to be a human that X-Men seeks to answer? And I feel like the right setting for that is, you know, and it's an ensemble, right? So it's like, I think the right setting is 45 minutes of like boring pseudo philosophical discourse, 90 seconds of like terrible special effects.
Yeah.
And then much better costumes.
Much better costumes than the previous ones?
Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, got you. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was... I feel like it would be great to see, like, a really boring version of X-Men. Like, because this was one of the most expensive movies ever made, right?
Yeah, it was. I looked, it was like 200 million. Yeah, I think they spent double on this than the one, the previous one to it. But the second one did like was well received. So yeah. I mean, like, to double down made sense.
Yeah. I just wish it was like, it could be so like, it could have been so pretentious.
Did you want like a Samuel Beckett version of of X-Men?
I want like the Wire version of X-Men.
I mean, okay, so you want more of like a Jessica Jones X-Men kind of situation. You want it to be a little bit,
but that feels right.
All right, so a little bit more just on like reality level. Just give it to me in like like it feels more true to comic book energy when it's just really kind of gritty. Not quite Gotham, doesn't even need to be that extreme, but just, I don't know. There's a certain level of charm when it's like
that. It could be, like, thoughtful. Yeah. But instead, it's Brett Ratner.
Yeah. but no, and then, like, Ben Foster's here, so that helps. Really does help. I'm serious. I was like, you said interest. All of a sudden, I was interested. I was like, all right, let me look up on IMDb about Fast Forward. I want to see who else was in that. Let me look at something on my phone for a while. Yeah.
This is the complete opposite of what you said, which was 90 minutes of discourse followed by 90 seconds of bad special effects, where this was 90 minutes of bad special effects, and then one time Storm goes, no, we don't need to be cured.
And then that's their philosophical discourse.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't normally do this. We don't normally do segments, but real quick, and I promise it won't take long, I just want to do a segment called Bob's Thoughts, because I watched this with my dad today. I asked him, do you have any thoughts about X-Men 2? And he just, the quote from Bob is,
me?
No.
that's it. That's Bob right there, quoted. For the record, X2 or X3,
The Last Stand. Yeah, it's just such a baloney. It's just baloney. It's like someone throwing baloney on your desk. It happened to you. Yeah, I don't know. Is it fair to say this had third act problems? Did you also experience that? Like, did you get exhausted at the end there?
Yeah, there was so much going on. I feel like, honestly, I feel like once Jean Grey, the main character, showed up, I was like, I'm checking my phone. I'm like, looking for fantasy basketball news. It was.
Thank you. I'm so glad you took care of yourself. Thank you. I appreciate that. I always forget to tell guests to, if you need to stop or turn it off. We want you to protect yourself.
Yeah, it was a good movie to like make lunch to.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, the movie was better when it was just Cyclops standing in random rooms going, Jean.
Funny enough, I kind of liked this. There was too much going on. It definitely had third act problems. It's silly at a lot of points. And I was like, this is fun. Whatever. I've turned my brain off today.
Mm-hmm. I keep putting in a classification of movies, which is like, and I think I actually said this briefly to my dad. It feels like the reason why it's comfy is like, it's like a TBS. It's the one you put on that. You're like, sure, just run that a bunch of times. It's that one.
Yeah.
It's the one probably that would happen. This keeps happening in our franchise. It's the one people would remember and be like, oh, I thought that was X-Men 2. Oh, all right, whatever. Like, it's all, but you know, the same. Who cares at that point?
Yeah. I find that.
I have to say it was much better than I expected it to be.
Sure.
Same. I've been told that it's like the worst movie ever, and when I turned it on, I was like, this is fun. I think I might have liked it purely because everyone said it was the worst. Mm.
It's like, it's good at being the worst, you know?
Yeah.
It embraces it.
I like the part where it got WB level quality, and the kid from Animorphs or whatever is just like, let's go on a romantic thing, and let's go ice skating. Like, that was like, it felt like a hard left, and it felt like someone's cousin was allowed to shoot part of the movie. Like, it was like, I don't know, they're student, they want to go do it, whatever. And then we went back to the movie. It was really weird for me.
watching this with Tom telling us that Jake from Animorphs, his character is gay, in the comics, because his girlfriend is the girl who can't touch people, really put a new lens on this, especially when he tries to get a new girlfriend and she's
also someone who can't quite touch people because she's the one that can go through walls.
I have a question, and I want to see if either of you can answer me this, because ready. I might not have been paying attention.
Ready for a challenge.
How did Jean Grey get resurrected?
I don't know. Actually, I don't remember if they ever covered that. I think it was just like in a lot of cases in this movie where it was just like, hey, this. And they were like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And they're like, but no, this. And they're like, okay. That was there was a lot of just like, sure, why not? And then movement in this movie. So I have no clue.
When she appears, right, are we supposed to like think that she's been like resurrected for a while? Or is that like that's
why?
Does he just like look at a lake and that brings her back?
He shoots lasers into a lake and then she's there and you're like, what's going on? How did this happen?
Did they do the thing where it was like how long it had been for her and she just kind of had a Nietzsche kind of vibes about it? Or like, I don't remember how long it had been since they thought she was dead and then she was found. Like, has it been months?
It's like not long enough that Cyclops was still sad, but he was very bummed out and other people had moved on.
Okay, sure. So yeah,
whatever. Whatever length of time where...
It's been one month. Get over it. Yeah, no.
Where everyone, all your friends stop mourning you, but your boyfriend's still mourning you. That's the amount of time it's been.
Folks, we're going to do a poll. I'd like you to DM me and tell me what time, what ratio you think that, where does that start? I want to see the math on that. Sorry. So fucked up. I don't know. I accepted it as well. I feel like I just received this movie. It just happened. And I was like, sure. Okay. I'll find it that I want an excuse to watch more Ian McKellen and Sir Patrick Stewart just hang out. And I want more of that. This is clear. Like when they were going in on their scenes, like into that building and like having that little like charm back and forth, you could tell they were having a blast doing that. And that's always fun.
Ugh. Yeah. I love that. Just like when it opens on the de-aged version of them, that's a real like tone setter. That's a real like, okay, I know what I'm about to see.
First movie to do de-aging, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and yeah, clearly Martin Scorsese watched this and was like, I can make a movie about this.
What is the stand
very
against that?
Influential on Martin Scorsese.
What is the stand against that Will Ferrell de-aging movie? I don't remember. I mean, not Will Ferrell. Will Smith, a de-aging movie?
That was later.
Okay.
You're talking about, like...
quality wise
Jupiter Ascending or something like that.
Oh, it's very different. Okay, right on. Okay,
I might be just saying the name of a movie that Will Smith isn't even in. I'm gonna be real.
No, I like bad effects. Actually, I think the favorite bad effects we've ever talked about on this podcast, aside from like up to this level, would be like Jurassic Park 3. I think the dinosaurs in that are on this level of just like, did they just stop trying? Did they just give up? Well, I don't know. I mean, I will say, what is it? Wolverine, like, losing his, like, skin and, like, deteriorating, trying to get closer. Even though it's bad, it still makes me uncomfortable because it's just enough that I'm, like, visceral enough that I don't like knowing that he feels all that pain. I don't like that. It's just one fact I don't like. I would never want to be regenerative. I just let me not continue to be like, it's fine. I lost my head. Like, when I think about Deadpool, I'm like, you kidding me? He can be disassembled and then still basically, like, gecko back into being a full entity? That's ridiculous. No.
Not for you.
Not a mutation I want. Nope. I don't want it. Give me a tail. Let me jump on the ceiling. That sounds great. I'll take that one.
I hadn't thought about what mutation I would want.
Right? Yeah.
Is there something that you just came up with now?
I mean, what I would like is like 20/20 vision.
I'm like, love the idea that there are mutants that live in this world and it's just people who don't need to wear glasses.
Yeah, who needed glasses, but then don't need to wear them anymore.
Like Spider-Man.
So I was going to say, yeah. Spider-Man got that. That was really
Spider-Man where he just goes, wait a second.
I'd be growing hair back. Okay. Could be good.
Okay, yeah.
Grow hair back, man. All right.
Yeah. I think that's,
all right. Two for two.
That's the extent of what I wouldn't want to be greedy about it. I mean, I guess that's some bullshit because, like, you know, that is asking for a lot to just be like inconspicuous when
you wouldn't help
Beast
other people.
Beast has got to be out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I also wouldn't do anything for anyone.
No. You'd be like telling me other people were like, I wish I could have hair grow back. You're like, nah, I'm helping you. Yeah. No, if you have the power to be like, hair. That's like actually a really dangerous power. You pat someone on the back. You're like, and you're welcome, I guess. That stays with you. Goodbye. Yeah, actually, that does sound really terrible, no matter which one it is, that if you touch something, it turns to something. Everything from when we did like Aladdin.
Oh.
like turning shit to gold or whatever. It's just you got to be careful with what you touch and shit.
Like the that Skittles commercial where the guy everything you would touch turned to Skittles.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It can I tell you something? There was an era of Skittles commercial where they were living nightmares and they presented them as such. That's one of them because it's a guy who everything he touches turns to Skittles and everyone goes, "Wow, that's so cool." And he goes, "I can't touch my son."
that's the line in the app in the commercial, and then it just says like, "Taste the rainbow," and you're like, "No, what?"
They should bring back scary Skittles commercials.
Yeah,
Skittles, it's not real food.
I mean, I've been saying that we need to have late night swearing, like cursing regular commercials, infomercials that are like, "Hey, you fucking asshole! Look, I know you're just sitting there being a dick, but like, do you want a chainsaw? Like, whatever. Like, really, just go off, play to your strengths, you know, and motivate people. Maybe that's not the best way to do it. Do you fucking love chainsaws? Maybe that's better. Maybe lead with that. But like, I would love it if also it got like really kind of like to that level too, like. Just take it to the extreme of emotional torture on television as well. That's what I want.
Okay. Yeah.
It does remind me of there was a perfect Skittles commercial that was around at the same time that like is like structured perfectly, which is the one where the guy buys the singing rabbit with the bag of Skittles. And he okay.
What?
Buys it. There's a commercial. Uh-huh. It's a guy, he's got a bag of Skittles and he gives it to another guy who gives him a singing rabbit.
Sure, makes sense so far.
Yeah. And then it's just him being annoyed by a singing rabbit the entire commercial. And then it shows him in the rain looking in on a house of dry people eating a bag of Skittles. And then the rabbit bites him and runs away. And then it just says, "Taste the rainbow."
Jeez. What the hell?
They were really weird with commercials in like 2007.
I mean, I get it. Like, stick get stuff that like sticks in your head and is super weird. It's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah, the berries and cream commercial,
which is also a Skittles commercial.
I mean, I'll never forget literally that dude like singing that stupid song about like eight. What is it? The credit report fucking song.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. Yeah,
yeah. Thank you. I do want to know actually, is there like any actor that you felt actually like rocked it as a character like in this round of trilogy?
Yeah, I mean, I love Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. Like, I'm millennial on the spectrum. I gotta get my Lord of the Rings, Star Trek shout outs here.
Yeah. No, please do.
You know, I to go the other way with it, I did not enjoy Hugh Jackman at all.
Is it
really?
His hair?
Wolverine.
Let's start there, and then you just went downhill.
It's his hair. Yeah. I like he's got too much of like a sparkle in his eye for me to like buy that he's this surly like, you know, lumberjack soldier fella. He looks too nice. He looks too friendly. He looks like he's got a heart of gold. And I don't want that in my Wolverine. I want to actually like hate Wolverine a little bit.
Okay, so hear me out. Nicolas Cage, like the drinking in the Las Vegas one where he don't tries to drink himself to death and he's like really just lets himself go.
Well,
like,
so that close, leaving Las Vegas.
Leave it. Dying in Las Vegas. You want that disheveled of a man. Where you want him to keep losing because it's just like, look, dude, you're stressing me out.
There's a movie for you, by the way. Continue your thought. I'll tell you what it was.
I feel like I want Wolverine to be kind of like Alex Jones.
I don't know who that is. I have no idea.
Never mind. I don't have the movie for you.
I want him to be like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? I'm sorry. Can I curse?
Sorry. Okay, we didn't tell you.
Yeah, what the fuck is this guy's problem? Why is he such a dick all the time?
This guy. Oh, my God. No, I love a good villain. There are definitely people. Even this kid, this little shit kid, I feel like I've seen him in other stuff where I'm like, fuck that. That's the actor who plays that little shit kid. Some people are really good at their roles of being like an actor that if I saw on the street, I'd be like, I'm going to cross the street because I know if I'm too close, I'm going to hate that guy and they're going to see my resting, honest face. Hey, you were that mean person to like Heidi Klum in that movie. I don't know why. But yeah.
the lamestream media is going to be telling you that Magneto's a bad guy, but he's not a bad guy. He's got some pretty good ideas.
I wonder if he got shit actually for that, because they're like, really, you're going to go from Gandalf, such a lighthearted man smoking a pipe, to this evil man? I don't know. Maybe he got hate mail about it.
Not from me. Not from me.
No. I mean, we did Lord of the Rings, and I didn't know this, I think, until today, unless the internet is telling me lies, that that was his first movie, yes?
What?
Maybe the internet is lying. I like that as an idea.
You think that Ian McKellen, the first movie he was in, was Lord of the Rings?
That's what the internet told me.
Classically, Shakespearean trained actor Ian McKellen, who was in like all those Shakespeare movies from the 90s.
Those don't count, though. This is like the first like major motion picture, maybe, is what they were trying to say. Maybe.
That's possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, or it was just like this is like their breakthrough thing, probably, which is more or less the deal.
He technically would have been in X-Men 1 before Lord of the Rings, even though he filmed that first.
Oh, is that how that goes? I didn't realize they were doing it at the same time.
They started filming Lord of the Rings in 1999. It took them like 4 years to film it.
Oh, I'm also I'm wondering, Andrew, if part of the like distaste for like his little pep in his step in this movie, because it does increase, because we've seen these movies the last 2 weeks, and I do see him being a little bit more like, haha, my movie too. It's because he probably knew he had the next one coming his way for just his origin story. So like, I don't know, I would not help it to be able to wear it on my shoulder, be like, all right, I'm on set, me, like,
Mr. Wolverine.
It's like when on The Office, when they started softening the Dwight character because they were thinking about doing a spinoff. Like,
oh,
actually,
yeah.
Actually, Dwight doesn't suck. He's a really nice guy. he's the kind of guy who could carry a whole show about his weird family.
He's the normal one in the weird family episode. Yeah.
They did the opposite with Andy. They're like, let's make him so unlikable that no one wants to see this man in anything ever again.
But also, he's replaced Michael Scott, so he's going to be...
It was just a weird time that they did that.
Yeah.
Well, he has to be unlikable. He has to be at least a little bit ignorant. I don't know. I always struggle with that. At least they lessened it a little bit as time went on and got rid of him for a while. You know, who doesn't love a little bit of time when it's Will Ferrell, the most painful era of The Office has ever existed?
I'm not a Will Ferrell fan.
That's okay. You can admit that here.
I want to present something, and I want to see if I'm wrong to you two. I think my problem with Will Ferrell is that he knows he's funny, and he doesn't break, but I feel him, like...
Overacting it.
Yeah, he's like non-breaking, breaking.
He's like in your face about not breaking too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that especially in like his character on Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
Ashley Schaefer, I think was the character's name. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it's a really great show with, Danny McBride is really funny and his performance has this kind of like, naturalism to it, and it's really weird.
Oh, it's a believable character. I've watched all of it. Yeah, it's a very like, oh, I know that person, unfortunately, very well.
It's a weird contrast with Will Ferrell when he shows up. He's such a like cartoon in that show, and I think I'm not a Will Ferrell hater like Jim.
No, I've actually
I say live and let live.
I feel like I'm the right age where it was like he did a bunch of movies like too similar for the masses. Like everyone got upset that he was doing like cashing in on being relatively the same ish with a light tweak.
He made Anchorman. We all loved Anchorman, and then he proceeded to make Anchorman like for the next decade.
But on ice, Anchorman on ice, Anchorman on basketball.
Plays basketball.
yeah. It just kept on doing that, and you're like, okay, cool. I will say, throughout people that usually are Will Ferrell, like not really big fans, for whatever reason, the common soft spot has been Talladega Nights, and I don't know what that's about. Maybe because the other dude, John C. Reilly, also took enough of it to, and also Sacha Baron Cohen, and people really love him. Maybe balanced it out enough. I don't know, but.
I do like Talladega Nights.
I don't hate Talladega Nights. It has one of my favorite like editing jokes, which is when the car is on fire and it's flipping around, and then it suddenly cuts to an Applebee's commercial for like 2 seconds.
I'm uncomfortable that my favorite line from that is, I will put you in a microwave, which is, I'm not going to give any context to anyone for that, but it's a good line. It's so good.
I was hallucinating last night, but I watched May December last night.
Oh, and I was just watching a video about this. I was going to watch it. Go ahead, please.
I saw this may be like insanely wrong, and I did not look into it, even though it struck me as strange. Will Ferrell, the name Will Ferrell, as a producer on this movie?
Let's look. I mean, because it's made by he's a bit of a cult director,
Todd Haynes.
When Natalie Todd Portman. Haynes, thank you. And Julianne Moore pick up their phone. They're like, it's definitely going to be Will Ferrell expecting to do a drama with me. Yeah. That makes sense.
A melodrama, even. Hmm. And it is the Will Ferrell. Whoa, Will Ferrell's first name is John.
And now we all know more about Will Ferrell. Cool. Anyways, here's a commercial break.
It's 8 a.m. on Black Friday.
It's 2:20 p.m. on Black Friday.
It's 12:30 a.m.
5 p.m.
9:50 a.m. on the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
This is episode 1 of 53 that we are recording back to back.
18 of 53. 26.
34.
40.
51.
52 of 53 that we are recording back to back.
Welcome to Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Jim.
I have a feeling of whimsy during the winter seasons.
Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Joe.
I grew up liking sports, loving sports and athletic figures and things like that.
Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Olivia.
This is the only beach I'm going to give a 10 out of 10.
Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Mo.
For me, it's the middle of Halloween season because I've already started several weeks ago.
Talkin' 2024 with Noah and Carrie.
I like to make things, and I'd like to know what kind of things are you making.
We're talking February 25th through March 2nd, 2024.
With our guest of the hour.
So specific things about this Olympics is that there's a new sport.
Like, nobody plans ahead for a solar eclipse.
Can I make a prediction about Venom 3?
The first thing we want to do is get to know you and how you move through time.
The more you sleep, the faster you get there.
I also like to make decisions very quickly. So like, if I'm shopping for a car, it's the first car I see.
I manage my calendar entirely out of my notes app.
Are we putting hexes on people?
Oh yeah, we can. I didn't bring any candles.
Producer Tom jumping in. I went home a little bit early yesterday and came in a little late today. And in podcast time, I just took off like 3 months. So.
Yeah, we've got one more and then I get to take like a 2-hour nap.
Did you like May December, by the way?
I did. I like Todd Haynes quite a bit. And
yeah,
I thought it was really funny for like what it was. It made me laugh out loud a couple times, which I did not expect.
I've heard about there's a hot dog line that
the
like
hot dog line's really good.
Okay, don't spoil it too much for me. That's really intriguing just in and of itself.
Because the controversy about that movie is that it is about a controversial subject, and there's some people who are like, it surely could not be a comedy. There's no way. And a lot of people are like, what? No, it's very funny. It's clearly a bit of a satire.
Yeah, it's really good. I haven't seen some of his more recent movies. Like, I haven't seen Carol yet, though I would like to. But he has a sense of humor, but it's kind of unlike any movies of his that I've seen in a way.
Okay.
But it's also like super in tune with, like, the melodrama of it is something that he's like, you know, perfected basically.
Yeah.
That kind of like campy melodramatic feel. I love Safe. That's probably like one of my favorite movies.
It's funny. The video I watched was very specifically like, can melodramas be camp? And it was like a dissertation on the concept of melodramas, the concept of camp, and whether or not those can overlap, because they're like inherently they're diametrically opposed because melodramas are very serious but are a little funny, but camp is like taking it seriously, a little funny, and like the fact you're like, it's a campy melodrama, I was like, thank you.
Isn't historically most of the favorite like campy things accidental camp? Isn't that the origins of camp? Was just no one meant to make camp, right? I feel like that would be cringy
a bit. Because there's also, what's his name? John Waters. John Waters very purposely makes and very successfully makes campy movies.
You're making me actually also want like a really gritty, you were talking about like X-Men and like different versions of it. And I've been thinking about like, I want kind of like a Sin City version of this, if that makes sense.
I just watched Sin City for the first time last night. That's so weird to say that.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen it in a very long time, but I've been, I don't know, I guess I when I think of grittiness, I want all of the characters to kind of be like that. Because it's painful how sometimes in these, they just really, like, I mean, I'm not a comic book fan, but I can feel them selling characters short, I even without being one. I don't know. I know I'm going to get Hugh Jackman's origin story, but what's going on with Storm? I've never seen, I don't know Storm's story. Does Storm get a movie? No?
No. God, no.
No.
It is funny, there is a later movie that is a quote-unquote gritty X-Men movie that is very successfully done, which is Logan.
Okay.
And it's
sure
one of the, I've only, of these movies, I've only seen like two more of them, and one of them is Logan. And
okay.
Logan is what I thought, Andrew, you were originally saying, which is he's just like this aging limo driver who can't get it together, and Professor X has dementia, and they're just miserable
for a whole movie.
All right, I'll check that out.
Are you describing a real movie? This feels like the level of like Rocky Balboa. Like, this doesn't feel like
no. It's
it would be a good movie,
and it's easily the best of it. It's a Western, like it's okay. Essentially it's a modern Western, but it's so well done.
It was promoted to me immediately after watching this on Hulu, whatever the fuck it was. So I love that it doesn't give a fuck about order for me. I'm like, I'm insulted. You know that I need to watch. Unfortunately, it's funny, because the timing got messed up for the, you know, kind of life, we're actually doing First Class next. We're skipping Origins. So I guess I'll have to wait to find out a little bit longer to find out what's going on with Hugh. I'm pretty sure I've seen it. I've seen this man with this grosser bones instead of this metal business coming out of his hands. I don't like it. Either way, knowing that it hurts every time, like, this is a weird place for shit to come out of your hands. I'm sorry. I don't mean to shame him for his claws.
Claw shaming, yeah.
I don't mean to, but I kind of am, and I want to.
It's kind of, though, a thing that I don't think I thought about this until, Andrew, you said it, which is the movie presents Wolverine as a man who is in pain constantly. Like, he every time he lets out his claws, it hurts him every single time, and he hates that. Just because it heals doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But then they kind of don't do anything with that with the character, and they're like, yeah, he just kind of hurts.
He's grumpy, but it's like, yeah.
But Hugh Jackman doesn't really do grumpy yet until he can grow a beard.
When you're mentioning him being kind of a rock star and showing upset, for me, the one thing is, I bet he showed up for 20 minutes to do that, like, lighting a cigar scene. And they're like, and action! And he's like, all right, that'll be like $100 million for me today, and I'm going home. I don't know how much actors make. Not that, but...
He made half the budget.
I think that totally seems fair. No, I actually bet he at least got pretty decent on this. I would imagine, I mean, he got the next movie, so I'm pretty sure he got paid pretty decent.
There was, I definitely like stopped paying attention at some point, but there was one thing that kept me like,
holding on.
Yeah. I couldn't completely abandon it, because I knew that this is the movie where Juggernaut says, I'm Juggernaut, bitch.
That was the famous thing.
Yeah.
Which I looked it up and was like, I guess it had been to me. It wasn't even like original or clever.
No.
Or it was just like repurposed from the internet. It was incredibly unsatisfying, I have to say.
Yeah, it's when he's like stuck in the floor and he's like, what the fuck? I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. And you're like,
yeah,
okay.
I didn't appreciate that it was in my head, my memory of this like this context list thing, it was kind of like an ungendered bitch a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, like an Ari Gold from Entourage bitch.
Like a Jesse Pinkman bitch. Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't mean that on top of your bitches, but like, I'm sorry. I can't believe I said that. I'm so sorry.
I meant that. I remember that at the time being a quote unquote big deal. Cause I mean, I was a 13-year-old when this came out, so like everyone was like, oh, the biggest deal in the world is that the Juggernaut says this. I just remember my friend's cousins being like, we gotta see the new X-Men movie, the Juggernaut's in it, and he says I'm
the Juggernaut.
Well, where is this in relation to Snakes on a Plane? Because I remember that being a big deal
around the same time.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. This feels like a very, is this early 2000s? This is early 2000s, probably 2000.
Mid-2000s. Yeah.
Mid-2000s? Okay.
It's 2006, and I'll look up when Snakes on a Plane. I think that was the exact same year.
That checks out, because honestly, I just recently, I did, Jesse Pinkman isn't, it's not just a random thing I brought up. I'm like, I think in season three, like I just decided to rewatch it. I haven't watched it in forever. I was like, all right, let's do this. Yeah. So that sounds right. That sounds when it was like a hot word to just drop it out. I'm surprised it wasn't in like Monsters, Inc. Like, if I'm being honest. I'm Sully, bitch. Okay, well, like as the last line instead of Kitty.
Bitch. It was out there, you know. I think that was also the era in which like Judd Apatow movies were huge.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that that would be like a go-to pejorative.
I just watched Knocked Up for the first time. I've watched a lot of like movies from the mid 2000s that everyone in the world has seen.
No.
Recently. I watched Knocked Up for the first time, and boy howdy is that like a bad misogynistic movie. Hates women.
Yeah.
Is trying to make all the men like unlikable, but inherently can't because it hates women so much.
Mm-hmm.
As a film, I mean this.
Yeah. You know who hates that movie?
Kevin Heigl.
Yeah, very much.
That exact reason. Yeah. And then she got essentially canceled from Hollywood for having that opinion, and she had to apologize to them the year before in B2. Anyway,
I'm gonna call it like the throwing the dicks up the
I'm
wall
so
era.
Annoyed by this movie, by the way.
You should be.
But no, you're right, though. It's very of its time where we're just like, yeah, just like women, fuck them. It's hilarious to not like them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the also theme of every single also like 80s and movies. They've kind of done that in all the – even Land Before Time, Jim. It's happened in an entire years of doing this franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, they underwrite constantly throughout. That's all of our – going to be all of our franchise. And it happens here too, very much so. If when your thing is just randomly like, all right, I guess I'm in love with you. Sure, that makes sense. I don't know. Sure, whatever. I guess they have to bring romantic dramas in order to make superheroes more interesting, right? They have to be in love with somebody.
Yeah, considering, I guess spoiler for the comic book. I can't say spoiler for the comic book. I've never read the comic book.
This is a guess.
This is an educated guess from something I read. Apparently, in the comic book, Jean Grey kills herself.
Oh, Romeo and Juliet style epic.
No, not Romeo and Juliet style. She just she just goes, I'm too powerful. I'm clearly killing everybody. She takes over for a second for Phoenix and then just like, and bang, I'm dead. I don't know. Not sure. And then in this, they're like, what if Wolverine loves her so much that he kills her? Eh?
That's it. There we go.
Oscar for Hugh Jackman, anyone? The two times that he like kind of was like upset-ish in this movie. I feel like when they were shooting that like scene where he like screams for a second, like the reason they had to cut it short is because he did that and was like, eh, good. That was pretty good, right? I was upset. I think I even cried. All right, next, I gotta go home.
Do something. Is there a song I could sing here?
It kind of felt like that. I don't know why. It was just, I guess I'm becoming a little bit of a snob when it comes to like good acting and bad acting, which is a shame because it's coming out of my own opinions about like Nightmare on Elm Street 7. You know, like, so that doesn't make any sense. And like Final Destination 5, like that's not the good baseline for acting.
Yeah. I can't imagine that it's easy or possible even to give a quality performance in a Brett Ratner film. Like, I don't know if he has used cocaine in his life, but he definitely has an attitude of where I wouldn't be surprised if he was high in some capacity during every piece of work that he's done. Sure, have y'all seen Rush Hour lately?
Yes. Not lately.
Yes, but that's another like one on repeat that I watched as a younger person, especially Rush Hour 2 for some reason. Mm. Don't know why, but I saw that one way more.
I watched it when I had COVID last year. It was just like I had COVID. It was this time of year, actually. It was around Christmas. And I just ended up picking terrible movies. I think the disease was affecting my brain.
Yeah.
But something two things that I did not remember about Rush Hour. One is that John Hawks is in it, and I thought that was cool. He plays a very small part. The other was that Jackie Chan says the N-word twice.
Nice, nice.
No.
Uh-huh, that makes sense.
It's in there. He says it once, and then he says it again.
Oh, my God. I knew this movie didn't age well. I was like, oh, that checks out. Yeah, because at the time, I know that there's a bunch of clips of him like saying the wrong word because he's not quite like super competent in English at that. Or confident.
There's a part where he's supposed to say freeze, and he says cheese.
That's what it is.
That's the one you're thinking of.
Thank you. That's what's coming to mind. So I feel like this is very much also the era of just like, oh, you don't speak English, so let's get you to swear, and that's really funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Plus, like, pull my finger joke, and like I like a fart joke. Like, I'm not I'm susceptible to low fucking brow humor as well, but I don't know. I think we're pushing the limits. We're pushing the bounds a little bit. We're clowning around doing a better job than that.
Yeah, it's great because it's both racist.
Yeah,
and xenophobic. Because
it's amazing.
The joke doesn't Jackie Chan sound ridiculous?
Yeah, we were in a post Pulp Fiction world where a white man gave himself the ability to say the N-word, including literally himself in an unhinged scene. Everyone was saying it, and it was a horrible time in our lives.
Let's see, Jim, you're really good at the years of movies. Shaun of the Dead, 2004.
They say the N-word in that. Yeah.
Am I wrong in 2004? Yeah. That was a hard guess. I don't know.
Nick Frost says it is 2004. Nick Frost says the N-word, and it's very strange.
I might be neurodivergent. I'm remembering movie numbers like baseball stats. What the fuck is going on with my brain? I don't even remember the years that these movies came out. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Absolutely wild. Kai.
Yes.
It's about that time.
Okay. I'm supposed to have a single opinion, yes?
Yeah. We are now going to do some final notes. So, okay. Andrew, this is a part where you just say one last final thing about the movie, and that's really it. We haven't thought too much about this segment.
No, I mean, this is the one we've really put a lot of bells and whistles into. I really feel like this is the this is the tough one. We really throw you through the ringer on this one.
I think we have to address the cliffhanger of sorts at the end when
through the art of chess, yeah.
Magneto makes it the thing just tilt a little.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Your sound effect made it sound like it was a cell phone. I'm sorry. I just thought it, like specifically like early 2000s cell phone particularly. Yeah. But no,
and are we setting up, or does he just have his knee under the table and he's like pointing at it and he's like calling, like, see, I used to be something.
He's doing it to no one because he's playing chess against himself. He's doing the Pixar short.
Do we get any flash forwards in this? Because I don't know. I know that this is the third one. I just don't know if we see later in any of these other movies.
I'm sure neither of you
stuck Logan
around for the end. No. Credits.
No.
Definitely not.
I didn't think so, because I almost didn't, but then
furiously turned it off.
Yeah. I got rid of it. I put it away.
At the very end of the credits, it shows a man in a hospital bed, and then someone comes up and is like, all right, let's check your vitals. And then Patrick Stewart's voice comes out of him, and he goes, it's me, Charles, and then it cuts to black.
Great. So why did we even watch this for? Everything's the same at the end?
Yeah. Yeah. There's literally no progression in any of this. Yeah.
Mystique turns into Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
Yeah. Implied nudity.
And also, a line I hated, which was the joke that Magneto makes where he goes, "It's a shame, she was beautiful." And you're like, yeah, that's a joke, but also a bizarre joke you just made.
Well, it's like when you like take off it's like the reverse of taking off your glasses. You know, that's what makes a woman beautiful. It's like one of those things. You don't get it, Jim. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah. The joke being that she turns into a beautiful woman and he's like, oh, too bad she used to be beautiful as Mystique.
I mean, all of the awful mutations, joke. The whole thing is that all the mutations are beautiful. I think that's what we're supposed to do is be like,
no,
that is
Kai, that's the joke. The joke is that he only finds beauty in the mutants. I get that. I get it.
I don't think you understand the joke. Movie joke. No, it is. It's terrible.
I know you don't see Beast naked, but I do hope that Kelsey Grammer had to get blue in his butt crack just like Rebecca Romaine did.
Oh, Frasier?
I loved Frasier in this. Kelsey Grammer was fantastic.
Yeah, he was the standout.
When you hear someone's voice, I mean, I think him speaking was good. I think he got really good writing. And I think Ian McKellen also got that, like, killed it on the monologue. Like, there's some good shit that didn't come out of here.
I wish I had written it down. There was an extremely Frasier joke that he said. And I remember hearing him being like, I feel like a Frasier writer wrote that particular joke because he said it just like Frasier would say it. It was great.
That was the budget. They had to fly in that Frasier joke specifically.
Wait, who has said a final note already? Andrew, you did right.
I guess I said like six final notes.
That's honestly, you're not doing it wrong. That's what I usually do. So that's totally fair. Jim, did you want to go?
Sure.
One of my favorite things that happened in this movie was, there's a part after Professor X dies and they have a funeral and then it cuts to his gigantic gravestone.
Mm-hmm.
Then later in the movie, Jean Grey dies and it cuts to
two very small gravestones. And I was like, oh, that's funny that they did two gravestones. And then it cuts to them next to the gigantic gravestone that's next to them. And it's like, why do we have to do this, guys? Why is there three gravestone shots in this movie?
Because they were like, oh, well, we should probably make sure it's very clear that they're a little bit more important. We understand the status. Because once again, someone was coked out in the writer's room and they were just like, fine, I guess we'll shoot all of those three scenes. Yeah. Honestly, that's the backbone of all the movies we do on this podcast, is that there was at least one coked out dad in a writer's room just getting away with so many of these scenes.
Yeah.
And they exist in these films.
It's a wacky movie.
Honestly, if anything, I wish they wackied it up a little bit more.
Yeah, like the guy that's multiple guys.
Oh, yeah, I actually kind of like that. I thought that was fine. I think that's a good deceptive move. And honestly, what's really sad is that I know I'm a sucker because I forgot that was his thing. So when I was like, oh, that's a good trick later on in the movie, I should have seen that coming. Like, obviously, that's what they were doing. You both knew that was happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think I was paying close enough attention to
it. For you. No, good for you. You did it right.
I was watching at a level where, yeah, I could be surprised by anything.
You Jackman's in this movie?
Oh, man. What happened to James Marsden?
I will say, I was also not quite paying attention. And when they go, you killed Cyclops, didn't you? I was like,
I don't remember that part.
Kai, do you have a final note?
I mean, sometimes, I don't know what it is, but I've been getting really negative and mad and very critique-y. And one of the ones that bothered me is that his tank top regenerated. I saw when he got stabbed in the stomach that they did a really bad CGI that, like, they brought back also his t-shirt.
No.
What?
No.
Did I see that wrong? I guess I need to go back and freeze frame it. Okay, what happened?
It's the blood dries.
I could have sworn a little like too much white comes back, I think.
Mm-mm. No, you know? You're just thinking that he goes from actively bleeding to not, because I noticed this too. Okay. He goes from actively bleeding to not bleeding, and then all the blood goes away, and then it goes to being still a stained shirt.
Okay. Okay. So yeah.
Take that. Andrew, you have anything to promote?
I guess I got really mad for no reason. And then, no, that's totally fair. Oh, I also had a quick question. Do you think they use mousse or hairspray to make Hugh Jackman's hair like that? Because I was trying to figure out what mechanism they used.
Gosh, we gotta figure that out.
No, I'm kidding. We don't need to do that.
And I'm coming back next week so we can discuss.
Yeah. I've been thinking I could use a new style.
I hope it's mousse. I really do. I don't know why people don't use it enough.
I do like the idea of like him, you know, digging his mitts into a thing of mousse and like just Wolverine doing his hair is just kind of funny.
This is how I like it.
He learned after the second film that he likes to do it himself. He's like, I got it. I come in and he comes in with it already done himself. I don't need wardrobe. I wear it in.
He also has to shave. Like every day, he has to do his hair and shave.
Oh, poor you. I hope he method acts. I hope he just goes out to the supermarket like that for months. I really do. No, you don't have to promote mousse. Is there anything you'd like to promote? A product, not a hair one. That's fine.
Any projects you're working on is usually about.
I get nothing. Learning. Let's promote learning.
Yeah.
It's never too late to learn something new. And it's very rewarding. And
what was the last thing you learned?
I'm learning to play piano, and it's a heck of a lot of fun.
No, I hear that. As someone who recently went back to college after a decade and plus, yeah, it's been really fun to be like, oh, wait, what about Earth? That's crazy. But now I know too much about volcanoes, and I'm uncomfortable all the time. no, thank you. I appreciate it. Learn, folks. There'll be some interesting facts in the show notes and a couple of weird videos to shit that you don't need to know, that you didn't know you need to know. Yeah, that gym picks.
Yeah, and come back next week for Wolverine Origins
with Bill.
Bill and Elena.
There you go. I was going to say, we're recording in weird orders, but I'm glad you remembered. Okay, great. Awesome. We'll be back. Thank you again, Andrew.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Rotten Treasure.
And on Instagram at Rotten_Treasure.
And on Twitter at Rotten Treasure.
And go to patreon.com/Rotten Treasure for bonus episodes, early episode release, and a vote for the next series.
And be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review us on any of your available podcast apps.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Perfect.